Well, tonight we're going to look at a question that many people ask, and perhaps someone has asked you this question before, or maybe you've asked this question yourself before you were saved, or sometimes even as Christians we ask this question. And the question is, why does God allow Satan, sin, and suffering to exist? Why does God allow these things to exist? If he's perfect, if he's as good and loving as he says he is, then why does he allow this? And a simple way to answer this question, and of course there are other ways to answer these questions. You might have some other scriptures or verses or some other examples, but these are some that I trust will be a help. A simple answer to this question is that God is perfect, and he created everything perfect. He didn't create sin, he didn't create Satan, and he didn't create suffering. Now, he created a perfect environment twice, heaven and earth, and on both occasions, Satan and man chose to rebel against God. And that's where you can lead into some of these truths that we'll be looking at today. First of all, let's look at the perfection and pride of Satan. There in your notes, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. I've put the Bible verses in there for you tonight. There's no blank, so just follow along with me. The Bible says, thou wast, what's the next word?
Perfect.
You see, Lucifer was made perfect in all his ways. From the day that thou wast created, what's the next word?
Till
iniquity was found in thee. So Lucifer, that was his name. He was an angel created of God, perfect. God created a perfect creation, but iniquity, which means sin, wickedness, was found in him. And there's the evidence of that in Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 14. So you can tell that person, look, Satan wasn't always called Satan. He wasn't always a deceiver. That's what the name Satan means. He wasn't always called, he was called Lucifer. He had a different name because he was made perfect. He wasn't always evil, but he chose. He made a choice. Notice Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, speaking of Satan, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So here is Lucifer, lifted up in pride. The Bible says he was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was an angel that magnified the glory of God and worshipped God. He covered the throne with his body, and he was created for the purpose of worshipping God. And he was full of wisdom. He was perfect in beauty, the Bible says. But the Bible says he was lifted up in pride. Maybe he got a glimpse of himself in the mirror. This is just a theory I have. But we know from the book of the Revelation, below the throne of God is a reflective floor of glass like unto pure gold. Hard to imagine. But if he's covering the throne, he may have caught a glimpse of himself. He may have thought, look at me. Look how beautiful I am. Lifted up in pride. Isn't man the same today? Well, he was lifted up in pride. And he said, I want to be God. As a result, he was cast out of heaven. And now he seeks to destroy. Though he could not destroy God, he now seeks to destroy the next best thing. That which God loves. His precious creation. Mankind. So that's why Satan exists. That's why he is evil, until iniquity was found in him. Now let's quickly go on. Let's talk about man for a moment. The completion and the condemnation of man. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 31 is not in your notes, but it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very good. That means it was perfect, wasn't it? And you can tell that person, look, when God created everything, it was perfect. There was no sin on earth. Man was meant to live forever. There was no death. There was no suffering. There was no sickness. There were no wars. There were no murders. Everything was perfect. But then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, we don't need to read through this verse, but you know what took place? Adam was next to Eve, and because she gave him the fruit, remember, he wasn't afar off in the distance. He was with her, and she saw the fruit. They were in a place of temptation, and they listened to the lies of the devil, and they took and rebelled against God. They sinned against God. And many people will ask the question, well, why, and this is the question we're looking at, why did God allow them to sin? Why didn't just God create them perfectly with the inability to sin? Why couldn't he just have done that? He could have prevented them from sinning in the first place. And an easy way to answer that, and you probably already know the answer, which is to say, look, God didn't make us to be like robots. He didn't make us to be like robots. He gave us free will. That's right. Now, I like to ask people the question, if you love someone and you wanted them to love you, could you force them to do that?
No.
Well, you could try. Some people do, sadly, today. But if you've ever been in that position before, and some people have, is that real love?
No.
No. If it's forced love, it's not true love. So God created man to have a living and loving relationship with him. And the only way for mankind to love God back is to have the freedom to choose to love God. Without that freedom, they'd just be robots. That wouldn't be real love. That wouldn't be true worship. It would be false. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knew what he was doing. So he made mankind with the choice to love him, to worship him. And what happened? Well, it wasn't God that created sin. It was man that chose to sin. It was man that rebelled against God. They knew what they were doing when they took of the fruit. They knew that it would bring death. They knew that it would bring separation. God warned them. He gave them everything they could have ever wanted. God said, this one tree, don't eat of it. So they would have a choice. They could act upon that freedom of choice. And so therefore, Satan and man chose to reject God. But the good news is, and of course all these questions ought to come to the gospel, the good news is, and here's one way to say it, there is Satan, there is sin, there is suffering, but sin has a cure. Amen? Sin has a cure. I know sin is terrible, and it is. It's the worst thing ever to happen to God's perfect creation. Sin is horrible when you look at what's happening today. And that's why that person will ask you the question. All they need to do is watch the news and think, how could God allow this to happen? Well, let's give them answers, amen? Sin can be cured. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says, why don't we read it together out loud, shall we? There in your notes. And the point number 3, sin has a cure. Ephesians 2, 13, 1, 2. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, man chose to reject God, but God in his love chose to make a way for sin to be forgiven, for sin to be washed away, literally. How did God do that? Well, because he is a God of justice, he must punish sin. But remember what we've already talked about, he's a God of love. He made us with the choice to love him. And that works both ways. He loves us so much, he chose to take his justice upon himself. That's how much he loves you, and you can tell them that. That's how much he loves me. He saved me, you can tell them that. And that's what the Lord says, be witnesses unto me. Tell them that he loves you and he saved you, and that the sinless Son of God was crucified on the cross, and he shed his holy sinless blood to pay for our sins. That's the love of God. And the moment a sinner realizes that they deserve the judgment of God and they repent of their sins and call out to Christ in faith to save them, to be their personal savior from sin, the Bible says their sins are washed away. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Amen. He has washed us whiter than snow. He has redeemed us. See, sin is disastrous. But there's a cure. And the answer is Jesus Christ. Tell them about the cure, which is Christ. Fourthly, soon Satan will be removed. Amen. Satan will be removed. Yes, Satan exists, but God has a plan. And that plan is not for him to continue his diabolical work forever. Soon, and I put it soon, not one day, but soon he will be removed. The Bible says in Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, Satan's days are numbered. That's what the Bible says. God is on the throne, and Satan is not allowed to do anything without God's control. Now, Satan can tempt man, but just like in the Garden of Eden, man needs to make a choice. And you can say, look, you can't blame the devil for anything. Yes, he can tempt you, but you need to make a choice. You know, if your mates tell you to go rob a bank, do you blame them if you join them? You know, if you go out and rob a bank with them, is it their fault? No, you made a choice. They tempted you, but you made a choice. And you can tell them, look, we've all sinned. And we deserve to go to the same place that Satan is going. Friend, you can make a choice and turn to Christ. Satan will be removed, and then one day, suffering will be no more. Suffering will be no more. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And the point is, God has a plan. Right now, yes, there's sin, suffering. Yes, there's Satan. But that's just a limited view. God has an eternal plan. And His plan is that He will restore everything to a perfect state one day. There will be a perfect world. And those who trust in Christ as Savior will have perfect bodies and will have perfect relationships, perfect neighbors, amen, perfect circumstances. Everything will be perfect, perfect health and a perfect relationship with their wonderful Lord. God has an eternal plan for the ages. He's in control, even of sin and of suffering. And this is just a little sidelight. You know, you might meet some disillusioned Christian who has fallen away from God. They're saved, but they're not in church because of suffering, and they don't know how to get around the difficult things and the trials that have happened to them. Sometimes you'll meet people who think that they're a Christian, but they are not saved, and suffering, when it came into their life, caused them to leave the church, caused them to stop reading their Bible and seeking God. And so here are some things to just a note about suffering. You can store these away in your notes if they're ever useful. But God allows suffering to test us. And we've learned that this year, obviously. He uses suffering to prove us. There in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord told the nation of Israel that I'm going to prove you. When you're in the wilderness for 40 years, you will be humbled, you will be proved to know what is in thine heart. And thou shalt remember, actually this is a remembrance, thou shalt remember all the way of the Lord, thy God that led thee these 40 years. So that's past, looking back. God proved you. And what is in your heart? So God puts us in a life of testing, a life of testing to try us, so that we will trust Him, so that we will depend on Him. He uses suffering to perfect us. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, God is not in the habit of changing our circumstances. He is in the practice of changing us. Amen. You know? When a difficulty comes into our lives, God uses that to change us, to help us to grow. And it's a wonderful example of God's incomprehensible sovereignty, how He could use suffering, which is a result of sin, for the benefit of His people. That's how great He is in greatly. He's in control of everything. He can use suffering for our benefit, to help us to grow, to help perfect us. A gem cannot be polished without friction, nor can a Christian be perfected without trials. Amen? Isn't that true? A gem cannot be polished without friction. You know, a beautiful gem, a beautiful diamond, doesn't start that way. It starts out pretty rough. So what needs to happen? Well, it needs to be chipped away. It needs to be cut. It needs to be it needs to experience some friction in order for it to be perfected. The refining of gold, and you know the illustrations, and then to prepare us. Romans 8:18 is a great verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So you see, we need to focus on eternity. We need to realize that God is in control even of our suffering. So here are some answers. And I'm sure you have some answers to give also. But God created a perfect world, and man chose to sin. Are you a sinner? You can ask. God will recreate a perfect eternal state. Will you be there? Where are you going to go when you die? God is perfecting us through suffering. Will you trust in Him? He's perfect. If we have anyone to blame, it's ourselves. Amen? Not even Satan. It's ourselves. And may the Lord help you to share the gospel as people ask questions like this. But share it sensitively. If someone asks that question, more often than not, they're suffering. They're experiencing some heartbreak, some heartache. And also, though, at the same time, you want to be sensitive, but make sure you don't preach a Jesus that will save them from their suffering. Because that's not true. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost, not that which is going through financial troubles or marital troubles or you know, discouragement. The problem is our sin. And so make sure you get to the sin issue. And God has some wonderful answers in His Word, and let's be ready to give an answer this week. Eh?